listening to the Paul McGuire Report on Paul McGuire. Welcome to the Paul McGuire Report, whether or not you're listening in the USA or the European Union or an Asian nation, South America, wherever you're listening to us on planet Earth, welcome. Planet Earth, by the way, as we know it, this particular planet Earth, has an expiration date. It isn't going to go on forever. But then again, you have an expiration date on your life. I have an expiration date on my life. Every man and woman, since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, has a limited amount of time that we spend on planet Earth, and then we move into eternity. Now, eternity is the eternal dimension or spiritual world. And just to be very blunt, there is a good place in eternity, commonly known as heaven. And there is a bad place in eternity, commonly known as hell or the lake of fire. But you know, all these people who want to blame God and try to innuendo that God is cruel and God is unjust and God is unfair, and how could a loving God do this or that? You know, that's a lot of phooey. It's just a bunch of you-know-what. You know why? Because every person who spends all eternity in the lake of fire, they all chose to go there. They all consciously chose to reject heaven as their eternal home. And then they consciously chose to accept the lake of fire as their eternal home. So how can you blame God for the decision, the free will that he has given every man and woman? You can't, can you? This ministry, and of course when we speak of this ministry, Paul McGuire Ministries in Paradise Mountain Church, has been on the front lines. I was just reviewing this while in the studio. We've been on the front lines of communicating the truth about things like Bible prophecy and current events. We've been on the front line of communicating the truth about the rising one world government, one world religion, one world economic system for 40 years. I've been speaking about this openly. My latest book, The Greatest Battle, is my 34th book. And millions of people, one way or another, have heard the messages that I have put out through this ministry, which of course puts you on the front line. So we've been on the front line of a spiritual attack that has been quite intense over the last while. I know that's not good English, but I can't think of a better term. Over the last while. You see, whenever you choose to stand for God's truth, to shine the light of the truth of Jesus Christ, whenever you choose to stand for the kingdom of God, you are an opponent of the powers of darkness. There's just no way around it. And so they've attempted to censor us. In fact, they did censor us. And then we're back on one particular, one very large internet distribution system. We're back on, but we were taken off. And I'm not going to get into the nitpicky stuff of why we were taken off. But when the day comes, and that day has already come to America, when you can be taken down from technology of communication for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's not a good thing. And essentially, that's why we were taken down. Now we're back up. But I'm not going to sit here and, you know, put my head in the guillotine machine and wait for somebody else who doesn't know God, who may have an animosity towards God, to censor me or anybody else because they don't like to hear about God. they don't have to listen to me. There's you know, countless channels in the internet for you to listen to. So anyone who stands on the front line is attacked. Key is, what do you do when you are attacked? Well, you don't retreat, you don't surrender. You allow God to inspire your mind with answers and plans. So we've expanded the outreach of Paul McGuire Ministries and Paul McGuire. We've expanded the outreach on many more social media platforms and internet search engines and internet platforms. We've expanded it quite a bit so that if we're pulled off one channel, we'll still be broadcasting on other channels, and we have all our alternative channels and all our other media outlets posted for you in advance, but you got to use it. Go to paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. You scroll down the page, you'll see a picture of me wearing a tie and a suit, and then it shows you the schedule of the Paul McGuire programs, the video, prophetic emergency alerts, the Paul McGuire report, the radio program, and lots of other stuff. And you'll see all the icons of the different social media platforms that we've added. They already have links built into them, but you got to go to paulmcguire.us, copy and paste them, check them out, and make sure you know them. Because I promise you this, unless things change radically, you're going to see more and more people just disappear, poof, off the internet. Now, if you've been told in advance where they're going to be, and people bother to record it, then it's no big deal. But I've talked to lots of people, and it's just human nature. I'm not blaming anybody for this. It's simply human nature. We all wait to the last minute. The problem is when you have transformed the delivery system, you can no longer find people like you used to, or even find subjects. Now, I'm talking about this because, you know, obviously what I'm saying could be misconstrued as like shameless promotion. And I'll tell you flat out, I'm not above shameless promotion of something that I believe in the core of my being. Why should I be? If I'm communicating truth, then why should I be afraid to shamelessly promote the truth? I mean, people who promote lies shamelessly promote the lies. So in my book, the latest book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, that's where we are now. And we have been in this battle in escalating phases for quite some time. This book came out about a year ago. This book came out right before the coronavirus, I mean like a month before the coronavirus started to invade the USA and other stuff. And this book predicted accurately many, many events leading up to where we are now. And this book will also accurately predict what is going to happen next for America, the world, and the future. And I emphasize the fact that the book will predict accurately because I've written 34 books. This one is my 34th book. I'm currently writing a brand new book, and I'm deciding whether to offer it up for pre-order. I'm racing it to get out. It's not that I don't have the material. I have already written much of the material. It's just that there's only so many hours in a day. So the point is, though, when you read my books or go through my past statements or whatever, you'll see that I don't have a record of false prophecies, of functioning as a false prophet. It's not there because I base what I write and what I speak on, first and foremost, It's the Word of God that's my final authority. Period. End of statement. I never make somebody's prophecy, word from the Lord, dream, or vision. None of that ever gets put above the Word of God. The Word of God is our final authority. And then I do an enormous amount of research so that I can understand the signs of the times from a biblical perspective, and so that I can understand the signs of the times from, let's say, an economic perspective, global perspective, and many other physical dimension perspectives. I spent a lot of time reading and a lot of time researching and a lot of time interviewing high-level people, talking with high-level people, always gaining, scrutinizing, analyzing, because I want to faithfully deliver the truth. And you can't faithfully deliver the truth if you succumb to spiritual errors such as false prophecy or whatever. So here we are. When I was born, which was in the 50s, and then became, like, you know, went through the 60s and the 70s, they were singing songs, rock and roll songs, like, you know, the times they are a-changing and the signs of the times and all the rest of that stuff. Barry McGuire, the rock and roll singer. I had him in concert at the Lambs Club. And I took him out to dinner at a famous steakhouse with my wife, Chris. Took Barry McGuire out to dinner because it was like two blocks from Broadway. This was a famous Broadway steakhouse. And he loves steaks. And this is probably way too far back in the Wayback Machine for most people, but some of you will remember him. He was part of a hit secular rock and roll group, and that secular rock and roll group made a hit song called "The Eve of Destruction," which was like the most prophetic song recorded. It's like Hal Lindsey's "The Late Great Planet Earth," you know, put into a hit record, and it was called "The Eve of Destruction." So we were sitting there with Barry McGuire talking about all kinds of stuff in the steakhouse because he was going to perform later that evening at the Lambs Club. And people would come to Christ through his testimony. And I was the MC and the host and the producer. But without overusing the word, that was a prophetic moment. Eerily, that was a prophetic moment. See, I had just about 2.5 years before having dinner with Barry McGuire and my wife at this steakhouse on Broadway, Times Square. I guess it was 2.5 to 3 years earlier, I had accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, fleeing from a Christian religious retreat on the back roads of Missouri. God miraculously changes me and opens doors for me to produce, host, minister the gospel, function as an evangelist, a promoter, etc., of all these contemporary Christian music concerts on Broadway and Times Square. In fact, I'm barely saved, okay? And when I was writing The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, I record an important time which occurred at the Lambs Club. And I'll tell you what that important time was. You have to kind of picture this in your mind. I'm reading to you from chapter one, from my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. Chapter one, the title is Freeze Frame. And in the chapter entitled Freeze Frame, it flows into the next subchapter, which is called Total Blackout. and I'll read this to you on page 11. A number of decades ago, this author experienced a vivid event in which so-called normal reality suddenly changes all around you. I was working as a promoter and host of a series of music concerts at the Lambs Club on 44th Street and Broadway on Times Square, New York City. The Lambs Club was formerly a famous Broadway theater and dinner club. Earlier during that day, there had been some confusion over a booking date with the musician and singer Keith Green. Keith Green was one of the most gifted musicians I had ever met, with that rare soaring talent on the level of the Beatles. And I'm not exaggerating that, by the way. The guy was like phenomenally talented. He walked away, I'm reading from the book again, he walked away from a promising secular career to write, sing, and perform contemporary Christian music, which reached millions of people for the Lord. At this time, Keith was just launching his first major tour and career. He showed up in front of the Lambs Club Theater in a giant state-of-the-art motorhome, expecting that we had a concert with him that evening. For whatever reason, there was a miscommunication with his agent on the West Coast. We did not have the date nailed down on our end. So I apologized to Keith and made arrangements to have him perform another day, which he graciously accepted. We spent the day hanging out, and he gave me a copy of his brand new album. Now, I'm not going to continue to read, but I'm essentially paraphrasing what I've written next in my book. So picture this. Keith Green has this incredible motorhome. I forgot the name of the motorhome. It was just like huge. He parks it in front of the Lambs Club. The Lambs Club's got other Broadway theaters on that block, 44th Street. And he's upset, and I understand why he's upset. He's driving around the country. This was an important date for him, but somehow the schedule got mixed up. So what happened right after he left, or probably within minutes after he left my office at the Lambs Club, I'm playing his album. This is in the days of vinyl, you know, and I'm playing his album and I'm blown away by it. But all of a sudden the album starts to kind of, you know, record albums, when you move the record slowly, it has that kind of drawling out sound. Well, I'm listening to his record, and it's like the record player is going slower and slower and slower. And then the lights in my office begin to flicker and dim. Like, this is weird. It's like the power is going out, I said to myself. So I get down. I ran down the flights of stairs, and I'm immediately on 44th Street in about 3 minutes. And there I am on 44th Street. And Broadway, and I'm seeing all the massive Broadway lights and stuff. And then within seconds of staring up at the Broadway theater skyline filled with neon and other kinds of signs, all the lights start to go out. But it's like in Legoland segments, you know, this block and then four blocks. And it's like the spontaneous, abstract crashing of multicolored lights are all going down, including the street lamps and everything. And within a minute or two, the lights were completely out on Broadway. And I was standing there. And then the lights are off everywhere, from Broadway to who knows where in the New York City metropolitan area. So what this turned out to be, and it was terrifying for the tourists who were there, because glass was being shattered, people were being mugged, you could hear some screams. No, it was like the lights went out. So it turned out that this event later became known as the Great New York City Blackout, when the entire New York City area blacked out, the lights crashed. And that was on July 13th, 1977. and it was officially called the Great New York City Blackout of 1977. I married my wife, Christina, in 1977. And this was a total unexpected blackout. Now, what happened was that when I talked to Keith Green like the day or two afterwards, he was deeply thankful. I was thankful because if we had not messed up the scheduling dates, there would have been at least 1,000 or 2,000 people or 3,000 people lined up in front of the Lambs Club waiting in line to get in for the concert or whatever. They would have packed in the theater. So they would have been stuck out on the street in the dark. And it was very dangerous to be on Times Square back then in the dark. And if they had tried to travel home, which was usually by subway or train, that too is very dangerous. When all the power is out, it becomes a very dangerous situation. So Keith and I both realized that, you know, even though this started out ugly, this was a blessing from God, because God canceled what could have been a much worse disaster if we had actually had a concert that night and kept it going. It would have been a disaster for the people who would travel great distances to get there. So what was interesting, not all that long ago, on July 13th, 2019, okay, that's 42 years later. So now I'm on the West Coast. On July 13th, 2019, Times Square, New York City, had another blackout that occurred the same evening, exactly 42 years later. And I mention that in my book. And then I go into the chapter entitled An EMP Attack on the United States, because that crashing of all the power grid that originally occurred in 1977 is just a hint of what could happen if an EMP attack hit the United States. And I, in my book, The Greatest Battle, I go into detail from military intelligence, military reports of what would happen if an EMP attack hit the U.S. and our power grid went out. So I'm not going to get into everything that I have in my book on this, but the warning here in the book is that America is on the precipice. And there's numerous books that I've written in addition to this one and others, like Conquering the Matrix and stuff, where I continually use the phrase, the coming crisis event. Because what we know when we study history is that crisis events, or mass crisis events, are one of the favorite tools of the elite in their goal of planetary transformation. And this is something I've been talking about for 40 years. Now, although by God's grace, my ministry, and thankfully myself, I've been endorsed by numerous well-known evangelical leaders over the years. And I'm thankful for those endorsements, because those endorsements keep your enemies at bay. But I've also received spiritual attacks, adversity, because people would love to marginalize me and say, oh, he's just a conspiracy theorist. And people used to do that years ago, even despite the fact that I had the endorsements of very credible evangelical leaders, I would still be ignored or attacked by ministers and people with an axe to grind who would be angered by my message. Not because my message was not true, not because my message didn't prove to be true, but because they didn't want their particular worldview upset. And they didn't do their homework. They didn't study and research. So, for example, in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, I talk about what led to these events with the Pilgrims and Puritans when they escaped Europe to come to America, how America was founded, how America, there was a spiritual battle at the very beginning of America between those that were involved in the occult under the leadership of the intellectual and occult leader Sir Francis Bacon, that there was a titanic spiritual battle for the heart and soul of America, beginning with the Pilgrims and Puritans when they settled the original settlements in the 1600s. Now, I talk about this, the historical references, the connections to the French Revolution, the connections to the different philosophical and scientific movements. And you see, when you do all this studying and research, and I document the research in the book, by the way, as I do my other books, I document my research. Then, when people attempt to dismiss my argument or my thesis or my assertion, they really don't have much to stand on because they're being emotional. And besides attempting to dismiss me as a conspiracy theorist, they really don't have much to stand on because they haven't done their homework. I think it's very interesting. In the last 6 or 7 months, I've seen increasing numbers of some of these pastors who wouldn't touch these topics with a 10-foot pole 2 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago or even before that. These pastors and Christian leaders wouldn't have touched the topics I touched with a 10-foot pole. And now they're scrambling because they didn't have a message. And by that, I mean their messages, their biblical, inspirational messages, whatever you want to call them, were framed in an environment where everything was going, you know, hunky-dory for America. Well, with all the crisis events we've had in the last several years, those messages don't fly anymore. Nobody's interested in them because they're dishonest messages. They were those messages, you can't preach them because they weren't built on truth. They didn't acknowledge the truth of the intense spiritual conflict that we were in. So a lot of these guys, and some girls, but it's mainly guys, ministers, they've switched horses. And they're trying to, it's rather sad, but at least Bible prophecy is, they wouldn't have touched teaching Bible prophecy with a 10-foot pole. But now they're teaching it because the old messages that they taught wouldn't work now. Those messages weren't built on truth. They were built on pop, humanistic, psychological motivation theories, which don't work when your house is burning down to the ground and then dropping bombs on it at the same time. It just doesn't work. But that's between them and the Lord. I want to read you something. This is the hardest part of teaching Bible prophecy and connecting Bible prophecy to real-time current events and connecting Bible prophecy to what's actually happening in our world. So the toughest part of this spiritual battle, this great battle which occurs in the hearts and minds of mankind, is that people get locked into a set of beliefs because they've been culturally conditioned by the media, by other Christians, by Christian institutions, by pastors, by books, by Hollywood movies, etc. They get brainwashed, if you will, into accepting a faulty, defective mindset, which they would not have succumbed to if they had done any homework for themselves. That's why that's what keeps you from flitting off and following this false teacher or this false prophet or whatever. But this is the difficult part, because I will admit, I'm a skeptic by nature, okay? So even though I've been teaching and researching and documenting and communicating this stuff for over 40 years, at the very beginning, and whenever I would hit a wall in my understanding, because I'm skeptical by nature, I really am not one who easily embraces theories, ideas, prophecies, etc., anything that just comes down the road. I'm not one that easily embraces that unless I have documented proof and it's based on research, and then most of all, that it comes under the authority of God's word. So there are many times where I would come up against a stumbling block in my research, because what I would read seemed so far-fetched, it was really hard for me to embrace it, because it was just too intense. But instead of just rejecting it outright, I pursued it with a vengeance of research, study, documentation, quotes from historical figures, reading original historical documents, etc., etc., in a pursuit for the truth, because Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." What Jesus was saying is that when you know the truth, then you can be set free. And he meant the spiritual truth of being born again as first and foremost. But Jesus Christ was also talking about when you know the truth, it will set you free. He was talking about truth in any area of life. When you have truth in any area of life, you'll be set free. So in my book, The Greatest Battle, in chapter 24, I have a chapter entitled "The Secret Occult Destiny of America." Now, to me, you know, that sounds like something that's intense. So the first thing I would ask myself, I wouldn't ask it now because I already know the answer. I've already done decades of research. But if I first, was this the first time I was encountering this, and I read something like "The Secret Occult Destiny of America," which is my chapter title, I mean, that's a big pill to swallow. And let me just read you briefly what I wrote. But this, I put it in this book. I knew about this for a long time, and I've included this in other of my books. But unless you master these foundational truths, unless you understand that this is not a conspiracy theory, this is really the way the world works, it's only then that you can be set free in your mind. So let me read you what I wrote in chapter 24. "In the occult classic book by Manly P. Hall, The Secret Destiny of America, Hall asserts that America has a great secret destiny that stems from both ancient Egypt and the legendary Atlantis. Hall writes that America is part of a universal plan and a great work." Now, let me quote Hall, which I did in my book. "Believing this to be so, I dedicate this book to the proposition that American democracy is part of a universal plan." Notice the usage of the words "the great work" and, in capital letters, "universal plan." These are code words of the Freemasons and occultists. These are code words for the people who put the pyramid on the back of the dollar bill with the all-seeing eye of Lucifer, where it says on the base of the pyramid on the back of the U.S. dollar bill, it says the words in Latin, "Nuvos Order Seclorum," or "New Order of the Ages," which means New World Order. See, America was in part founded by Bible-believing Christians, but America in part was founded by occultists and Freemasons and people who were connected or were members of the Illuminati or the Rosicrucians. So let me finish reading the quote I have in my book. A body of enlightened humans united in what might be termed an order of the quest. It is composed of those intellectual and spiritual perceptions have revealed to them that civilization has a secret destiny. Secret, I say, because this high purpose is not realized by the many. The great masses of the people still live along without any knowledge whatsoever that they are part of a universal motion in time and space. Then I write, Manly P. Hall shares the occult belief held by groups such as the Freemasons, Illuminati, and Rosicrucians that America has a secret destiny that came from Egypt thousands of years ago. Thousands of years ago in Egypt, these mystical orders were aware of the existence of the Western Hemisphere and that the great continent, which we call America, the bold resolution was made that this Western continent should become the site of the philosophic empire. Now, again, that's a code word from the occultists. They believe that America, going way back, America will be the geographic site, and this is their code word, of the philosophic empire. All maintains that the first political leader who had this enlightened social consciousness was a pharaoh of Egypt. Later on, Hall discusses the vast empire of Atlantis, which was ruled by seven philosopher kings, a scientific elite who were supposedly the descendants of Neptune. In other literature, there are references to the rulers of Atlantis as being the genetic descendants of the fallen angels who mated with human women. In Genesis 6, however, these seven philosopher kings, or god kings, disobeyed the laws of the gods and planned to conquer the whole earth, which allegedly caused their destruction, judgment, and devastation. Now, when you decode all of that, which I do in the chapter, which gets into bloodline, family lines, the ancient League of Nations or one world government, you see that there is a direct connection. Ideas have consequences. Between the philosophies and ideas of the ancient occultists that began in ancient Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel. Tower of Babel, by the way, was a pyramid, pyramidical structure, and that architecture is called a ziggurat. So the Tower of Babel was a pyramidical structure. That's why when the ancient Egyptian empire, that's why they built their empires, because they had borrowed from the blueprints of what was created at Mystery Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel. And what I point out in my books, The Greatest Battle, Conquering the Matrix, Prophecy of Future of America, 2016-2017, and many of my other books, what I point out, and I build one book builds upon another, what I point out is that this Mystery Babylon occult planetary religious system that was created under its leader Nimrod at the time of the building of the Tower of Babel, this Mystery Babylon system, this occultic system, was passed on from secret society to secret society all over the world. That's why you see in ancient Egypt the replication of the pyramid structure and what I call the Pharaoh God King system. So Mystery Babylon or the Pharaoh God-King system, through its many imitations and clones, basically indoctrinates the people into believing that their rulers, their emperors, their kings, their pharaohs, or whatever you want to call them, that they're secretly gods, and the people need to slave in service of their gods. The modern version of this, as I also point out in my books, is Sir Aldous Huxley, who authored Brave New World. He called it the scientific dictatorship that would be ruled by the scientific elite. Now, what's the point of all this? The point of all this is happening now. It's materializing now. This isn't like hallucinatory conversation. This is happening right now on planet Earth, because these ancient occultic systems have always been, from Mystery Babylon and before, they have all always been, these ancient occult systems, a merger of ancient occult practices, sorcery, magic, psychics, prophets, priests that could allegedly access supernatural power. But the ancients always put them in the same category as the scientific elite, the technological elite, the mathematicians, the physicists, etc., etc. So there was a basic understanding among the elite that built the super civilizations. They had a basic understanding that, and this is what allowed them to build their super civilizations, they combined into one category: science, magic, technology, sorcery, witchcraft, astrology, the supernatural. They never separated the two into two different categories, like science and the occult and magic and sorcery wouldn't be in one category, and then science, physics, and mathematics would be in another category. According to the ancients and their Mystery Babylon system, it's all one category of knowledge. And as I quote in my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1 and 2, and A Prophecy of the Future of America, I quote Sir Arthur C. Clarke, a famous science fiction author, but also an inventor who created satellite technology. And Arthur C. Clarke goes on record as saying that in an advanced, enlightened society, science and magic are all part of the same thought stream, and that science and magic should not be separated. That gives us a glimpse. That gives us an open door into their mindset. So if you go to paulmcguire.us, that's paulmcguire.us right now, take advantage of the book bundle discounts we have available to you, where you can save money and get money off and discounts by getting two books together. And we have a whole bunch of those for you that'll help you save money and get the knowledge you need. Because I'll tell you something, if you understand the template and the thinking behind the ancient super civilizations, you will know exactly what is happening now in our time period, because the same occult formulas are being employed now in our time at this moment as were first employed in ancient Babylon on Mount Hermon and also in ancient Egypt. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Remember to spread these messages far and wide, and help us through your prayers, through your spreading the message far and wide, through your donations and contributions. Help us to go into all the world and set people free with the truth, as Jesus Christ commanded us to. If we're going to change our world, if we're going to preserve our freedom, we're going to have to do what God told us to do, which is to occupy until he comes. And there's only one way you can occupy until Christ comes, and that's through the proclamation of the truth. That's the whole purpose of Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church, is to move as strategically, creatively, intelligently, as Word of God-centered as we possibly can, as led by the Holy Spirit, as precise as we possibly can, so that we can bring in this last day's soul harvest. And when, I'm serious about this, I hope you are too, and when the intense spiritual battle before us, because when I used this title, it wasn't chosen flippantly. I mean exactly what the title says. We are right now in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the world. But we can understand the battle plan and be spiritually victorious. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Welcome back to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. You know, one of the most interesting things about the way God works, and we all have to process this, we all have to deal with it. God's ways are so above and beyond our ways that it's a real workout sometimes to try to understand everything God is saying. You know, there are some fundamental truths that when we lay hold of these fundamental biblical truths, it not only sets us free, but it contains the spiritual power, the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit, to set other people free through us. For example, you and I were called to be here for such a time as this before the world was created, before the beginning of the world. We were called by God to be here for this particular time period. And that God knew us before the foundation of the world, before we were created by our father and mother. Before we were created, God knew us, and God chose for us to be here in this time zone facing these set of challenges that the world is facing now. And then on top of that, God has downloaded through the power of his Holy Spirit and through some kind of genetic DNA, there's a spiritual DNA that is a co-writer with, I believe, purely physical, biological DNA. And we have been downloaded with all the spiritual gifts and the natural gifts that we need to be able to say to the Lord, mission accomplished, when we meet him face to face in heaven. And now this is way beyond any of our abilities to completely comprehend with our natural minds. No matter how brilliant we may think we are, this is a big one. So we just have to trust God and put faith in God that he understands all things. He exists beyond the dimensions of space and time. So he knows the end from the beginning. That's why Jesus Christ said he's the Alpha and the Omega, beginning and the end. And you and I have been placed in time for however long we're supposed to be here, to accomplish a whole series of missions. And he's given us the anointing and ability to do it. I think that's pretty phenomenal. For example, in what God has called me to do with my life, I didn't plan this in some methodical way, because how could I plan something that I wasn't even sure potentially existed in the first place? I couldn't. But you see, God leads your way. Every one of you listening to me now, God is leading you in so many different ways right now. All he asks is that you call on him. And then, If you find yourself in the zone of, well, I don't really feel anything, I don't hear God saying anything, you continue to call upon God in prayer, whether or not you hear or feel anything or not, and you continue to walk by faith, not by sight. And if you walk by faith, God will lead you supernaturally. That's heavy, and it's also liberating. It's also very liberating. All God asks from you is to put your faith in Him, to pray by faith that He would lead you and guide you and provide for you, etc., etc. And then by faith, you step out in obedience. And that's a liberating thing. There's probably a lot about your life, like there's a lot about my life that you don't understand. I don't understand. That's just the way it is. We're not going to understand a lot of things until we finally get to heaven. So we have to trust God until we do get to heaven. So I'm picking up a book that I wrote. And I'm not even trying to sell this book. I know I say this all the time, but I'm telling you about this book because we may have a handful of copies sitting around. But I mean, this is a book I wrote in, 1991 is the copyright date. And the name of the book is called Who Will Rule the Future? A Resistance to the New World Order, Paul McGuire. So this was written in 1991. You think I knew what I know now in 1991? No. How is it that I was able to... Here, let me just read this to you. Here are some of the chapter headings from Who Will Rule the Future. Chapter 1, The Future and the New World Order. I want to make a point here. I just didn't jump on delving into what people called conspiracy theories in the New World Order. I'm not Johnny Kim lately who finally figured out that there was a New World Order in the last 2 years. I've been writing this for 40 years. And chapter 2, an eclectic view, and it would help if the host of the program could talk, don't you think? Hold on. An eclectic force energizing the world agenda. Chapter 3, The Invisible Realm. Chapter 4, Millennium 3. Chapter 5, Choosing the Future. Chapter 6, The Need for Leadership. Chapter 7, Future Christ. Chapter 8, Revival and the Armies of Heaven. So here's a book I wrote in 1991. Which is a prophetic word, a prophetic book in the true sense of the word. And by that I mean, I'm not sitting here, like in some carnival that comes through town, you know, a carnival and everybody's dressed up in costumes and I haven't been to a carnival in a million years. But I'm not some carnival barking, inventing cute and creative little stories and claiming that they're prophecies. When I say it's a prophetic book, it's because through research, analysis, Bible study, and examination and documentation of current events and various economic, sociological forces, etc., I research with a vengeance to open up the truth. That's prophecy, because it's based on truth, spiritual truth, and real world truth. So in this book, I begin the first chapter teaching about the New World Order, which I still have Christians come up to me who think the New World Order is a conspiracy theory. I mean, I don't get it. Do you? I really don't get it. And then I explain what this spiritual warfare that we're involved in involves. So what I say in this book, Who Will Rule the Future, I'm skim reading what I wrote in the book, a titanic turn in worldview. And I talk about the fact that this battle, and this was in 1991, is a battle regarding the world view or beliefs of mankind. And I quote Friedrich Capra, the author of The Tao of Physics and The Turning Point, famous New Age physicist, who goes on to talk about the thoughts of man, the Judeo-Christian tradition, the conflicting sources of power and nature and science in our society. And then I get into the titanic shift in our worldview that is going to have profound effects on every aspect of our culture. For once, the basic idea that there is a personal God in the universe is replaced with Eastern concepts of an impersonal energy force, then math, science, law, the family, and all of society will begin to change. Now, it continues on. But as you can see in this book, Who Will Rule the Future, that came out in 1991, I'm talking about this battle for world views and why it means everything. I didn't plan to write in 2020, I didn't plan to write the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. I didn't plan for that to happen. But you see, these books connect thematically with precision because God, I believe God, anoints people not only in their linear, logical, rational, historic, scientific research, but God also anoints people spiritually. And so what you're seeing is the product of an anointing. An anointing which compelled me and energized my mind to write my book, Who Will Rule the Future, in 1991. And here we are, decades later, and I'm talking about my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. These two are tied together spiritually. Yet, look, I am not a super, super genius. Nobody's smart enough to figure out all that stuff. And if somebody's smart, they should be smart enough to be humble and recognize that God is the infinite personal living God of the universe. But the thoughts and the warning and the analysis of who will rule the future flows right into the greatest battle. Because God gave me a call and an anointing, a prophetic anointing, if you will. Notice I didn't say God told me I was a prophet. I don't call myself a prophet. I will say I have a prophetic anointing. But it's a prophetic anointing to research and study the Word of God and seek His face. So that's what these books do. They each book builds upon another in order to deal with the precise mission assignment that God has given me. And you say, what does that mean? It means that God knew me before the foundation of the world. So that means, for starters, He created me genetically. He created me in terms of my DNA. He created my personality. He created my character to be such a way that it would be perfectly suited for the mission assignment He gave me. So what He needs many times, and then He calls people, other people, to do other things. But He needs somebody whose basic character is not one that needs everybody's approval to continue on. Well, that's me. It's not because of willpower. God built it into me. God also built into me an innate desire to persevere and not back down to opposition. In other words, God genetically equipped me for my assignment before I even had the foggiest idea of what the assignment was. And He has done the same thing in your life in so many different ways. I don't care how old you are. If you look at your life, God has spoken to you through other people. God has spoken to you through that still small voice. God has spoken to you through friends, through the Holy Spirit. God has been leading you for years. Trust Him. Obey Him. Step out on faith in what He calls you to do. That's the way you fulfill your assignment. Now, when you bother to get knowledge, which gives you power, then you can understand what's happening. So let me give you a really simplistic explanation. The occult operates according to laws and occultic principles. One of their primary laws that the occult operates under is called chaos, or order out of chaos, or new world order out of chaos. And what that means is that the globalist occult elite, which in my book series, A Prophecy of the Future of America, I expose who the Luciferian elite are, who the globalist occult elite are, and how they will deliberately socially engineer chaos or crisis, and they will manufacture chaos, or they will manufacture crisis as a subterfuge of creating their new world order. Now, when you understand that fully, which should take you 5 to 10 minutes of thinking, when you understand that occult mathematical principle of order out of chaos or manufactured crisis, then you can understand the basic game plan, or should I say, the multiple game plans that are being played out in front of your eyes and ears in the virtual reality that we largely exist in. What is this virtual reality? It's television, it's movies, it's feature films, it's broadcasting, it's the internet, it's social media, it's all the technologies we have. All of those together, you know, most people spend more time with their minds and consciousness locked in to their cell phones or laptops. They're engaged in video games, their social media, videos, all the stuff that they're in their own world, but it's an artificial world. And that artificial world is controlled by men and women who are either just playing out for fun, but there's a percentage that have an actual hidden agenda. They want to program your mind. They want to program or hypnotically program your mind to perceive reality in the way that they want you to perceive it in, so that they can enslave you with what Aldous Huxley, the author of Brave New World, called the scientific dictatorship. They want to program you to be their slaves in a scientific dictatorship. And according to Huxley, which I write about in my books like Conquering the Matrix, according to Huxley, that the scientific elite, when they accomplish their task effectively, they can effectively, he said, in a truly effective scientific dictatorship, we can program people to not only be our slaves, but we can program them to really love their servitude. So they will be ecstatically joyous serving the elite as slaves. Now, that's a matrix. Do we live in that matrix now? Is that what's going on in our world on a higher level? Because this is the hard back. This is the hard part. This is back to this very difficult part for people to transcend. And unless you transcend it, you will never be everything God created you to be. You cannot allow yourself to be enslaved by an illusion which teaches you there's no real reason or logic for your life. You have no purpose in life. You are essentially a powerless human being. And there's nothing you can do about your destiny except to accept it. See, right? If you accept all that processing, you've allowed yourself to be brainwashed. And this science of brainwashing goes all the way back to Mystery Babylon in ancient Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel. It exists in every super civilization, and it exists since the 1800s, going on fast forward, under various forms of what has been termed the scientific dictatorship, the philosopher dictatorship, and what Zbigniew Brzezinski, one of the co-founders of all the globalist projects with Rockefeller, he called it the technocratic elite that would use technology for mass surveillance and technology in order to bring about a planetary dictatorship on planet Earth with electronic technology and media, etc. That's where we are. That's where we are. Now, this means each one of us is confronted with a choice. This choice is applicable to what happens in our lives, what happens into the United States, what happens on every nation and planet Earth, what happens to your children and grandchildren. They will all either be swept in to this essentially Antichrist system and the great apostasy. They'll be swept into it and enslaved by it. Or if someone loves them enough to communicate to them the truth about what's really going on and communicates to them the truth about how they can be overcomers, then they can set themselves free, set their nation free, set their children and grandchildren free, because none of us have the right to prematurely and arbitrarily decide for ourselves flippantly, oh, I know Jesus is coming back 3 years from now, or 2 years from now, or 7 years from now. You don't know diddly squat. Jesus Christ didn't know when he was coming back. So I don't care who you are, you don't know diddly squat. If Jesus Christ didn't know when he was coming back, who are you? Jesus Christ said, only the Father, God the Father, knows when he's coming back. So we don't know that. And so what are we supposed to do? Run around like space cadets? No, we're supposed to be diligent to fulfill the Great Commission, win souls, occupy until Jesus Christ comes, and make disciples of all nations. And we can do that if we will accept one of the primary commandments that Jesus Christ gave to his church, which is to, we are supposed to make disciples of all nations. That is the heartbeat of Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church, is to make disciples of all nations. And that means you teach people how to accept the disciplines of the Christian life, like renewing your mind, being built up in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you accept the disciplines of the Christian life and you accept the task of being discipled as a Christian, then you can be built up and fulfill your responsibility as an overcomer. And you will also fulfill your task as one who participates in making disciples of all men and women in Christ Jesus. Because it's that obedience of those basic assignments, winning souls, making disciples of all nations, going into all the world and preaching the gospel, occupying the land until he comes, gaining knowledge which gives us power. It's the acceptance of those disciplines, which is what we mean by making disciples of all nations. That's our road to conquest spiritually and setting people free. So I want to ask you to fulfill your commission, because you do have a commission. And I want to tell you this as gently and lovingly as I possibly can. The Lord Jesus Christ arranged for you and I to talk today, no doubt in my mind about it. The Spirit of God is anointing you. And now, as we speak together, many of you have a deep inward sense of the Holy Spirit being poured out upon you. You have a sense of the Spirit of God anointing you and breaking chains in the name of Jesus. And you have a clear understanding of being filled with power from on high by the Holy Spirit. So what is God doing now? God is ministering to you. He's energizing you. He's strengthening you. He's equipping you to be victorious so that we can win together in partnership in His name, Jesus Christ, so that together we can win as many souls possible into the kingdom of God. Why? Because God is love. And a God of love wants a crowded heaven. Not an inconvenient heaven, a place bustling with love for one another. So I want to encourage you with that. Study to show yourself approved, not only of the Bible, but of biblical truths contained in other books that are in subjection to the Bible. And then obey what God tells you to do. Because as the Lord's ministering to you with the power of His Holy Spirit right now, and it's not your imagination, He's delivering you. He's healing you. He's providing for you financially. He's giving you guidance, the knowledge and wisdom you need. And then you can move forward on faith, and God will back you up. So God bless you. I'm your brother in Christ, Paul McGuire. I consider it a privilege of God to live in a time where we have the technology to go into all the world and preach the gospel in partnership together. So let's take advantage of that technology while it still remains open to whatever degree. And I need your help in doing that. I need you to become a prayer warrior for me, my family, and this ministry. I need you to spread our message far and wide. And finally, I need you to just go to God like a little child and say, Jesus, what would you have me give financially or with a donation or contribution to Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church? And then whatever God tells you to do, just do it and walk out by faith. God bless you. And allow yourself to be invigorated with the supernatural power of God. It's a very, very good feeling. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire.